From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome to the show. Thank you guys so much for listening. It is Tuesday night. It's 7:06. We have a lot of stuff to cover, a ton of stuff to cover. Really fast, because Lisa just mentioned it in her top of the hour news. If you guys have not gone over to MyNorthWest.com and read that story about that teacher, Seattle Public School teacher, who was caught on camera saying some insane things. I think they're on spring break right now, but if by the end of spring break, if they don't have a better statement, I would be very, very surprised. I just don't know how somebody can say things like that on camera, surrounded by students, and if I were a parent, I would be very, very questionable. I would be very questioning what the Seattle Public Schools is going to do in this situation, because how can you have people like that teaching kids? It doesn't make any sense to me. Read the story on MyNorthWest.com. Jason Rance has it. It's a great story. All right, we got a lot of stuff to get to tonight. Like I said, welcome to the show. We didn't plan on talking about that, but Lisa just mentioned it, so I thought I would mention it as well. Welcome to the show. If this is your first time tuning in, I just want to say you're in safe hands. We're going to have a lot of fun. It's a pretty good show, I got to say.
I'm with it. I'm hip.
All right, we're gonna have a lot of fun. We also have a lot of crazy stories to get to tonight. Yesterday, the entire world freaked out about the eclipse. We have some audio that I don't even know. This person just loses their mind. It's a reporter. They lose their mind. And it's even better than the one we played yesterday. So stick around for that. Also, I have to play this clip really fast. Every single night at this time, we play a trivia clip. You guys can take a guess on it on the Muckleshoot Casino Resort text line. You can also just talk to me there if you want to chat during the commercial breaks. If you want to comment on some story that we're doing on the air here, you're more than welcome to. We try to do our best to get to all of those text messages if possible, and we try to at least respond to them. And you guys can get us there, 888-973-5476. Here's the trivia clip. If you don't know the answer to this, then listen at the start of the next hour, the start of the 8 o'clock hour for the news roundup. I will just give you the answer to this. So you don't even have to know it. You're just going to learn something. But here's the clip. Good luck.
This case is talking to us. I'm a peacock, Captain. You got to let me fly on this one.
You know what, Terry? Let's just settle this. Peacocks don't fly.
They fly a little. They get a real running
about
start.
About as much as a penguin. One more thing. Do me a favor. Don't go chasing waterfalls.
Is that accidental, or are you trying to quote TLC on purpose?
I don't even understand the reference.
You don't understand what you said?
I don't know what that is. Get out.
All right. So good luck guessing on that one. Muckleshoot Casino Resort text line, 888-973-5476. All right. Let's get right into it, Matt. This story is kind of crazy. Did you guys see that Shoreline gas station that was robbed? Cairo 7 has a really, really unbelievable video, like a number of videos. So here's what happened. You have a gas station which is being robbed just after 5 a.m. on April 5th. They're being robbed by a burglar who literally has like a saw, like a power saw to cut open the door. He also has a massive crowbar, and he's kind of shields himself in the front door by pulling a U-Haul truck in front of the door to this gas station. And there's obviously, it looks like there's somebody in the driver's seat, because otherwise it's a self-driving U-Haul truck, which I don't think those exist. So he then jumps out of the passenger seat. He gets in front of this door. He spends a long time. You can watch this raw footage. The gas station owner in Shoreline actually gave the security cam footage to Cairo 7 TV. They then posted it. You can see the story there, and you can watch this footage. Not only does he spend a lot of time trying to get in the front door, he uses a saw. And then he tries to break it open with a crowbar. Eventually, he literally hooks up a chain to the door and the other end to the U-Haul to tear the front door open. So it took him a while. And you might be asking yourself, like, why didn't the police catch this guy? We're going to get to that in a second, because it's the police kind of were there and could have caught them, but apparently they didn't. And we'll explain that to you and how that happened. So the guy then goes into the store, and again, you can watch this footage. The store owner is watching because he's getting updates from his security feed saying, hey, you have somebody breaking into your store right now, and you should be aware of this. So he's watching this live in his shop on his security cameras, and he's calling the police.
to try to get the cops there, which he is successful in doing. And then there's footage inside the shop as these guys are just rummaging around, trying to get things. This guy who goes into the shop then leaves with a bunch of stuff, about $5,000 in damage they do to the shop, and also, you know, things they stole. He leaves carrying a bunch of stuff. He drops a bunch of it at the door because he's hurrying away. And the reason he's hurrying away, it appears, is because there are police very close by. He then jumps in the U-Haul, and the U-Haul takes off. As the U-Haul is driving away, police lights, red and blue police lights, are reflecting off of the U-Haul. So you know that the police are very, very close. 2 seconds after it drives away-ish, you see a police officer walk up to the front door and look inside to see if there's anybody there. So the owner of this shop, who wanted to remain anonymous because he didn't want to be identified in case anybody wanted, I don't know, payback or something, the owner talked to Cairo 7, and he said that the police could not pursue the suspect because of current pursuit laws, which obviously is frustrating when you own a shop that's being robbed and you call the police in time and the robbers are right there and the cops can't chase them because of our insane laws in Washington State. So the shop owner, he says he did everything right. He called the cops. They were there. Nothing could be done. And now insurance won't cover $5,000 in damages to his shop. And he said this is not the first break-in. He says a couple months ago, someone used a car, which we've seen this a ton, someone used a car to ram into the front of the gas station, stole his safe, stole a bunch of cigarettes and vapes, probably some stuff that they could sell easily. Total damage on that break-in was around $30,000. And he says insurance didn't cover that one either. The gas station owner spoke to Q13. Obviously, he's not feeling great about it. We have some audio from the owner here.
To me, police is not doing their own job. You know, I was really, really frustrated that time. And I told the police officer, I mean, you guys need to step up. Otherwise, we feel very unsafe. My employees feel unsafe. We live in Shoreline for 35 years, city of Shoreline. We have never seen these kind of problems, what we're seeing for last year or, you know, over a year. My wife feel unsafe. We don't let our kids come outside because we just feel unsafe.
That's a horrible feeling. I feel really bad for that guy. I empathize with him. I mean, I know I have a family, and I know what it's like to want your family to feel safe, and you want your family to feel protected. And this guy did everything that he could to protect his shop. I mean, this is their livelihood. This is how they make their money. This is how he feeds his children. And when you have thieves who are just brazenly breaking into your shop and the police are right there and they can't pursue them because we have insane laws in our state, that would be very frustrating. And if this happened to him more than once, I can't tell you how many stories that we have done on this topic, especially related to like Kia boys, which you guys have heard all about those. They steal Hyundais and Kias because there's a design flaw and they're able to break into those cars because of that TikTok Kia boy craze, where basically they just break into it with a USB drive cord and a screwdriver, and it gives them the ability to like start these cars, which they then use because they can just endlessly get Kias and Hyundais. They use them in all these break-ins. They're oftentimes like smashing into pot shops. One day after another, just smashing into pot shops or smashing into gas stations. It's awful. I cannot imagine how difficult it would be to run one of these smaller shops, one of these mom-and-pop shops in this area. It'd be very, very frustrating. So my heart goes out to this guy. I hope that insurance kicks in for something. Obviously, that sucks. And I hope he's able to get some of that money back. And I hope that our pursuit laws change so the police can start doing their jobs. I know a lot of cops. My neighbor's a cop. Some of our best friends are police. They want to go after bad guys. That's why they signed up for the job. They want to keep people safe, and they want to protect communities. And when their hands are tied, they can't do it. So it's not the cops' fault. So those laws need to change quickly. All right, let's move on. This story was really interesting. Jason Rantz had this. You can check this out over at MyNorthwest.com. Here's a headline. Seattle Times cancels $18,000 ad buy because it promoted a church, the pastor says. So here's the story, basically, and I have some audio from this. Seattle Times canceled an $18,500 Easter Sunday ad buy after the publisher learned that it promoted a church, which is not uncommon to see ads for churches around Easter time. That is their most special holiday. I can tell you, somebody who attends church, that is like Christmas Day. It's very close to Christmas Day, actually. So Pastor Russell Johnson, he's the pastor of the Pursuit Northwest. They have three locations. They have one in Seattle. I believe they have one in Kirkland. And I think they also have one in Snohomish, up in my neck of the woods. So he says that they had planned to have this big advertising spread in the Seattle Times. It's called a Spadia, apparently. And what they do is they advertise on the front page, they advertise on the back page, somewhere in the middle of the newspaper. They spend a great deal of time working on what that ad is going to be. Obviously, they wanted to, you know, have the right message. The Seattle Times also has, you know, they have their rules about what they can say and what they don't want people to say in their ads. They want to make sure that it's family friendly. I would think that a church's ad would apply and be pretty family friendly. But this pastor says that they worked with Seattle Times for a long time to make sure that they got the copy just right. They submitted everything. They had a contract. And then 2 days before the ad is supposed to run, Seattle Times just says, oh, we're canceling your ad buy. He detailed this entire process. And you can hear all the hoops that they jumped through, the thousands of dollars that they spent trying to make sure that they had the right ad. He told Jason Rantz all about it. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, we had started conversation with the Seattle Times back in February to run what is called a front page Spadia ad, which is like a wrap on the front page. Advertising our Easter services, and that ad was to run the Sunday before, which would have been Palm Sunday. And we had been working with the Seattle Times advertising agency and their marketing team for, you know, really about 2 months, and getting things approved and editing the ad to fit their editorial standards and sizing it, and had put quite a bit of time, effort, energy, and money on our side into making that ad work. And we additionally had a signed contract and payments that had been agreed to, like you said, for $18,500, which is the most expensive ad space that they offer. And just a few days before that ad was scheduled to run, contracts were signed, proofs were finalized. I got a call while I was actually out of state preaching at another church. I got a call letting me know that the owner, the CEO, Frank Blevin, personally intervened, stepped in at the last minute to say, we are not going to run this ad. We are not going to promote a church. We are not going to allow them to spend their money with our newspaper for a front page Spadia ad.
Wow.
Just simply advertising our upcoming Easter services.
Isn't that strange? Isn't that curious that they would just cancel an ad like that? I mean, it leads you to believe that the Seattle Times found something very objectionable about what the ad was saying, which can't be the case because they worked with the Seattle Times marketing people for a long time to make sure they had the right copy and that it met all their standards. We just heard the pastor describe that there. The only other thing it makes me think is that they just didn't want to help promote a church, which, listen, like, I know that Seattle has a reputation for being a godless city and nobody there goes to church. That can't possibly be true. I know a lot of people who live in the city and some of them probably go to church. I don't know for a fact that they go to church. I think it is a pretty godless city, but I do think per capita, maybe Seattle is not the most churched city. But I think there's a lot of people who attend. There's certainly a lot of churches in Seattle. I used to live in Seattle. I went to many different churches when I lived in town, so I know that they exist. I guess Seattle Times was worried that their readership just could not handle seeing a church ad. I mean, I just don't understand why this would happen. But according to Johnson, this was a pretty rare occurrence to cancel an ad like this, especially one that was so valuable to Seattle Times. I mean, $20,000, essentially, that's a lot of money.
We were told that it was essentially a reputational risk for the Seattle Times to allow a church to advertise in this manner on the front page, even though the ad was rather innocuous. Again, just advertising things like service times and available child care. They said, you know, it didn't really fit with the ethic of the paper. However, the marketing team told me in all of their years of doing advertising for the Seattle Times, this has never once happened where the owner and the CEO personally stepped in at the last minute to cancel a signed contract. And, you know, of course, they tried to offer us like a consolation prize, like, well, we could maybe put an ad for you like on another page or maybe on the back page of the newspaper. But it kind of felt like to me like, well, you can't sit at the front of the bus. So just sit at the back of the bus and be happy with it, because at least you're still on the bus. And I was like, no, we've already have a signed contract. What are you talking about? This is what we've been working on for 2 months. And at the 11th hour, you guys are going to cancel? It's ridiculous.
He says that to have the owner get involved never, ever happens.
To have them pull the rug out from under us, you know, the context that was given to me was that, you know, the owner of the newspaper is not ever personally invested or involved in any type of decision on what type of ads they run. And to have, you know, Frank get involved at the last minute and say, no, we're actually not going to allow a church to advertise their Easter services when they take ad dollars from everybody else to run ads supporting every other issue. For a church to advertise its Easter times and it's too much of a risk for the Times to run it, I thought to myself, you know, there is a reason places like the Seattle Times are on a fast road towards insolvency, and this is one of them.
I just, you know, he's not wrong. It's tough to run a paper out there these days. I'm surprised that they're so flush that they can turn around $20,000. That doesn't really compute for me. And I also think it's a shame that they feel that, you know, they can't let a church. You don't have to agree with everything everyone says. And they're also a private business, so it's totally their decision. I just think this is one of those situations where we live in a nation that has free speech, and if somebody wants to advertise a church service and they're not even saying what they're going to talk about in church, although I guess you could probably guess what they're going to talk about in church, then what's the big deal? I'm surprised that Seattle Times would have a big issue with it, because now we're talking about it even more than we would if Seattle Times had just said, all right, run your ad and we'll take your money. And then after Easter, everyone's going to forget about it. So it's just confusing to me. All right, we got a lot of stuff coming up. We got a great show tonight, so stick around. Matt, what do we got coming up?
All right, coming up on tonight's edition of Cairo Nights, a young man takes to TikTok and is very upset that he's not able to afford to live on his own. We've got some highlights as the world freaked out yesterday over that eclipse. And we're joined by Lisa Brooks for the news roundup at 8:06. That's all headed your way from Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
You're listening to Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome back to the show. All right, I want to play this audio for you. I was going to play this later, but it's just so funny. I want to play this for you now. There's a politician out there who, if her career as a politician fails or she decides she wants to do something else, I think she could be a moon scholar. And of course, I'm being very facetious. She should absolutely not be a moon scholar. She said something kind of ridiculous. You guys know who Representative Sheila Jackson Lee? She's a Democrat. She's from Texas. And she told teenagers at an eclipse viewing event on Monday something very not true about the moon.
Lay the old moon, keep shining.
This is not her singing, by the way.
Shining down for me. Lay the old moon, I'm pining. Pining just to be.
All right, so Representative Lee, again, she's speaking to a bunch of teenagers. They are outside of their high school, Booker T. Washington High School in Houston. And she was talking about how the moon, they were talking about the eclipse, obviously, that everybody's been talking about. And particularly in Texas, it was a really big deal because everybody was going to Texas to see this total eclipse. We played you clips from that yesterday, and we have some more today of just people freaking out. But she was saying this about the moon. And I don't know if the students were just being kind, or, I mean, I'm sure they were. I'm sure they were thinking, what is this lady talking about? But she was saying that the moon is made of gas.
And sometimes you've heard the word full moon. Sometimes you need to take the opportunity just to come out and see a full moon is that complete rounded circle.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Which is made up mostly of gases.
Also, I didn't know that.
And that's why the question is why or how could we as humans live on the moon?
That is a good question. If the moon was made of gas, it would make it harder to land on. It would make it harder to live there. They did successfully land on the moon in the Apollo missions, but I don't think it was made of gas then, but I suppose it could have changed.
The gas is such that we could do that. The sun is a mighty powerful heat.
That is true.
It is almost impossible to go near the sun. The moon is more manageable. And you will see in a moment, or not a moment, you'll see in a couple of years that NASA is going back to the moon.
Somehow, even though it's made of gas. I want to say, I know what happened here. I can, as somebody who talks for a living every single night and who has to give long monologues. I mean, I don't know how long this speech was to these high school kids, but I doubt it was 20 minutes, which is like our longest segment. So I have to be able to just talk for 20 minutes. Sometimes we do a 3-hour show every night. You just can't have everything planned out. A lot of it's just extemporaneous speaking. And sometimes when you're talking, you just say dumb things. Like all of us say dumb things. This is just a dumb thing that she said. It's obviously the moon's not made of gas. It's also not made of cheese, which they thought for a long time. So, you know, everyone makes mistakes. This did remind me of a clip, though. Will Ferrell, the little context here. Will Ferrell used to do this really funny bit on SNL. I don't know if you remember this, Matt. Do you remember his Harry Carey impression?
Oh, yeah. That was great.
So great. So Harry Carey, for anybody who's, you know, below the age of 35 and have no idea who Harry Carey is, he was the longtime Cubs broadcaster. And he had a, like, very signature voice, as great broadcasters often do, especially in sports. Almost exclusively in sports, actually. Harry Carey had just a wonderful way of talking. And Will Ferrell was very, very good at talking like Harry Carey. It's like one of the reasons they hired him at SNL is because he did a really good Harry Carey impression, which I don't know if many people did, but he did it really well. So one of their bits on SNL was that he would pretend he would be Harry Carey, and it was like Harry Carey who had a PBS show about space, and it was just basically Harry Carey in the offseason talking about celestial objects. And his guest on this episode is Jeff Goldblum playing a scientist. All of that is just a wonderful stew of funniness. Here it is.
Space, the infinite frontier. With your host, Chicago Cubs broadcaster, Harry Carey.
Hi, everybody. Harry Carey here. And welcome to Space, the Infinite Frontier. Joining us in the studio today, all the way from Caltech, is astrophysicist Dr. Ken Waller. Welcome to the show, Ken.
Thanks so much. It's nice being here.
Hi. Now, Ken, we all know that the moon is not made of green cheese.
Yes, that's true, Harry.
But what if it were made of barbecue spare ribs? Would you eat it then?
What?
I know I would. Heck, I'd have seconds. And then polish it off with a tall, cool Budweiser. I would do it. Would you?
I'm confused.
It's a simple question, doctor. Would you eat the moon if it were made of ribs? Just say yes and we'll move on.
Yes.
Hey!
This is stupid. So funny, though. All right, speaking of the moon, everybody and their mothers lost their mind yesterday. When I say everybody and their mothers, what I mean is anyone whose job it was to report on the eclipse was invested in making sure that it was the most phenomenal event that has ever happened to mankind. Listen to the Weather Channel lose their ever-loving mind over the eclipse.
Totality, we're in it, and we're behind a cloud. But I still want you to appreciate the darkness that we are experiencing. And by the way, our temperature has dropped. We're down to 72 degrees. I can even see a blue spot right there. We've got 4 minutes. The crowd is willing it. Yeah! Whoa! We can see it. Just for a minute. Just for a second. But I'll take it. I will take it. Look at it. Oh, my God. We got it. We got it. Oh, my God, Lori. Look at it. Woo!
She sounds fun at a party. NBC also sent somebody out to talk about it, and they had a little more of an emotional response.
Exactly. Oh, my gosh, we're almost there. We're almost there. There it is. It's totality. This is just amazing. I can't believe I'm able to bring this to you. I'm taking my glasses off for a moment. because you can actually look up and see. We're seeing kind of a diamond effect, but we can see the halo. We can see the corona around the sun. The stars are starting to come out. This is just an amazing sight. I just watch for a moment while I gather myself because I'm just in awe of the sight that I'm seeing right now.
It sounds like he's crying there. I'm not.
Were there tissues on hand for this? Maybe a handkerchief or two?
I mean, I would hope so. That guy needs a towel. He is just very, very excited to be seeing what he's seeing. I think probably what happened was, like, people get really excited in crowds. You know, they talk about, like, mass hysteria. And when people are surrounded, like, if you're ever on, like, a sports team or something, everybody's freaking out and getting really into it, or you're even watching a sports team in a stadium, it's really easy to get caught up in it. But for these guys, these are, like, professional broadcasters. They're used to being on camera. I'm just surprised that this guy lost it in the way that he did. I'm also surprised. This was another clip. We played this yesterday, but it's just too funny not to play again. Sonny Houston, however you pronounce her last name, she was on The View. She is one of the hosts on The View, and she was saying, like, all this eclipse stuff going on, all this earthquake stuff going on, and these cicadas now, I think there's a similar theme.
We've got a solar eclipse. We've got the earthquake.
She ran down the hallway.
The rapture is here.
The rapture's here. And then also I learned that the cicadas are coming.
Cicadas.
Cicadas.
Although I love
for the first time in like 100 years.
No.
Two different. Well, this is what I read. Two different times.
There's two different kinds of cicadas.
Yes, two different times are coming.
The good cicadas and the bad cicadas.
But for the first time in many, many years.
No. Every 17 years this happens.
Well, that's not what I read.
I love how she keeps getting corrected. Like, no, that's not it.
Red, but maybe well, you know better.
I will say
all those things together would maybe lead one to believe that, you know, either climate change exists,
that's more
or something
point.
Is really going.
No, I don't think it would make many people believe that the eclipse is caused by climate change. And because we can, and because I haven't, there's just not going to be any opportunity to play this again. Let's hear from legendary Cubs broadcaster Harry Carey talking about the eclipse.
Hi, doctor, have you ever seen an eclipse?
Yeah, I've seen many, yes.
You know, if you stare at it head on, it'll burn your eyes out.
Well, it's not best to stare at the sun during an eclipse, you know.
But it's hard not to. I once took a pair of binoculars and stared at the sun for over an hour.
Why would you do that?
Curiosity, I guess. Heck, I'm curious like a cat. I have a couple of friends that call me Whiskers.
So dumb. All right, we got a lot more coming up on the show. Next, I'm going to play some audio of a kid who, I call him a kid, but I guess he's technically, he's a man. I would assume he's a man. He's on TikTok. He looks to be 20-something, and he is very, very upset, as people tend to be on TikTok, because he says that in the world today, he just can't afford to live on his own. And he's upset at you because he can't live on his own. Now, does that seem confusing to you? Well, if it does, then you probably agree with me. But it's still fun to listen to him. So we're going to check in on that next, see if we can figure out what he's talking about. Stick around. We're going to be right back here on Cairo Nights.
You're listening to Cairo Nights with Jake Scora.
Welcome back to the show. Every once in a while, I like to check in on TikTok, see what those kids are TikToking about. And I came across this clip. I want to play this for you guys. All right, this guy, I don't know how old he is. He seems to be about, if I had to guess, I'd say he's 22 years old. That would be my guess, because he's got a, I don't know, like maybe a little facial hair maybe. He's on TikTok, and he is very upset. You can hear in the audio, he's obviously very upset. And he's talking about how you just can't make it anymore, even though he makes three times the federal minimum wage.
Can somebody explain to me in crayon eating terms why I make over three times the federal minimum wage and I cannot afford to live? And I do not want to hear the pull yourself up from your bootstraps, work 90 hours a week. That's not the goal, guys. That's not. That should not be our standard.
So let's see, federal minimum wage. I think the federal minimum wage right now is about, it sounds really low because the minimum wage in Seattle is $19.97 an hour, I believe. And I think the federal minimum wage is just over $7 an hour.
$7.25, yeah.
And I don't think it's changed since like 2009. It's been a while since that's been updated. But, so he, let's say he makes about It sounds like about $21 an hour, maybe a little more than that. And he's saying he can't live on his own. He also says that, he says he cannot afford to live on his own. He just doesn't understand how anybody can do that.
I am so f***ing tired of people being...
Sorry about the language, guys. It's a family show. I had to beep it, but, I apologize about the language.
I am so f***ing tired of people being complacent with this uniparty, both of them f***ing us over. When my parents were my age, they both made less than half of what I make, and they lived alone. I cannot afford to live anywhere alone. A one-bedroom apartment, $1,800. Two-bedroom apartment, $2,200. Who the f*** can afford that?
You know, I would highly recommend that he would get some roommates. That's what I did when I started working in the city, in the big city where everything's really expensive. I found some roommates on Craigslist, which used to be a website that existed before OfferUp. And I found some roommates. I went over there. I interviewed. They said, hey, we have a really tiny, tiny room in this really old house that has mold on the windows. Would you like to live here for a lot of money? I said, yes, please. Take my money. And that's just the way it works. I had four guy roommates. We shared one bathroom. It's not glamorous. That's what it looks like for everybody. So the idea that this guy's saying that he needs to live alone in his 20s is preposterous. I had four roommates until I got married to my wife. And then the two of us working together could afford a place together. And that's just the natural way of things. Eventually he would get there. I promise this young guy, if he's listening right now, and I don't know if he is. I just assume everybody does listen to this show. But let's say that for some weird reason, he's not. I just want to encourage him that I think he can do it. I think he can live out, figure out how to make his dreams come true. He's still very young. His biggest asset right now is time, obviously. I can understand why he's frustrated. He's probably lived a pretty comfortable life. His parents probably did fairly well. And maybe he is living a life to which he can no longer afford because he's an adult now and he's having to realize, oh, there's actually like bills. Cell phones cost a lot of money. The internet, strangely, you have to pay for. Costs a lot of money. Food is really expensive these days. These are all things that you don't really think about when you're a child and you're still living the child's life. And he says it's not fair for people to compare him and his complaints to the way that they did it back in the day when his grandparents could buy a house for $3,000, which I don't think that's the case. But he says, I don't want to be compared to my grandparents.
It is embarrassing to come out and say that it is a struggle to survive right now. But I know so many people are struggling. And do not get me started on what my grandparents were doing. They, $3,000 house. And yes, I understand inflation and all of the that they have been pulling with the Fed. Why are we allowing it? Why?
That's just kind of the way it works. Number one, I would say, just try not to let it affect you. Don't get too upset. I was talking to my parents when I found this story. I said, hey, I remember that you guys had a pretty high interest rate back in the day. Because they would kind of be the age he's talking about, this grandparent age. My parents' interest rate when they bought their first condo was 18%. And they were happy to get it. Very excited. So we have very low interest rates compared to what they were paying back then. And still, somehow, they figured out how to do it. So I think he's going to be fine.
If you've got an issue, here's a tissue.
All right, we got a lot more coming up. We got the news roundup next. We have, I'm going to give you the answer to that trivia question. Just a lot of great stuff. So hang out. We'll be right back here on Cairo Nights.